This is Faith in Action, the program that looks at how people put their faith into action in their everyday lives. Faith in Action is a production of Catholic Radio Indy. Now here's today's program.
This is Faith in Action on Catholic Radio. I'm Jim Ganley. Our co-host is Bridget Dare.
Hello, great to be with you.
And Bridget, we just can't say thank you enough to everybody who helped with our big auction earlier this month. It was a big success, a new venture for us. Normally we have a dinner about this time of the year, but like a lot of folks, a lot of organizations, because of the virus and pandemic and quarantine, et cetera, we're so tired of using those words. We had to cancel our dinner, and so we decided to have an online auction instead. And boy, a lot of area businesses stepped right up to help us by donating items, and then a lot of generous listeners jumped online to help make the auction such a big success. So we want to thank everybody for that. And we also, at our dinner this year, we're going to present the Evangelist of the Year Award, a first annual Evangelist of the Year Award. We weren't able to do that either, so we want to thank Archbishop Thompson. He actually came into our studios for a live broadcast and presented that award to Father Guy Roberts, a local priest here with the Archdiocese of Indianapolis. So congratulations, Father Guy. And thank you very much, Archbishop Thompson, for helping us out with that.
Yes, well, today we have a really interesting topic for you, and it's really interesting. People always ask me, well, how do you get all your guests? And they come by various ways, but this guest came to me by way of Jim Ganley. He got a mailing from this particular order that we're going to be talking about today, and he said, you know, we need to talk to these people. We need to talk to these ladies. They're really hitting it out of the park. So now that I've really piqued your interest, you may think that religious communities in our country are dwindling, and maybe to a certain extent that's true, but we're going to be talking about a religious community that is bursting at the seams with vocations to their community. And our guest today joining us by phone is Sister John Dominic from the Dominican Sisters of Mary, based in Ann Arbor, Michigan. So, Sister, welcome to Faith in Action.
Welcome. Thank you very much. I'm very happy to be with you all.
Well, as I was recently doing a little research on your community, I got connected with you, I believe, on Facebook or one of your social media platforms. And lo and behold, like the next day that I, was done with my research, I got this social media push that announced that you had 18 new postulants, and I'm sitting here looking at your picture that's on your webpage that were joining your community. Wow.
I can't. Yeah, it really is just, Bridget, it's really an amazing gift that we've got. And all the credit, you know, all the sisters, we kind of like stand in the back. Well, ultimately, you know, from the reading that we always know from 1 Corinthians, where it says that God causes the growth, you know, so God is really the one that you know, brings the women and leads them and really places that seed within their hearts. But there needs to be someone that cultivates that and nurtures it and kind of does the tilling of the soil. And we have an amazing vocation director, Sister Joseph Andrew, who gets out there and shakes the bushes and visits all these college campuses, which actually this year will be a little bit limited what she can do. But she really just day in and day out, you know, works with these young women, talks with them, encourages them. And also, you know, the amazing thing, too, is that even though, you know, we have 18 that, you know, that have entered our community, what Sister does when she works with all these women is she directs them to other religious communities, which is really pretty much how we think, you know, that the most important thing is that they find God's will, because that's where our peace and joy and happiness lies, is doing God's will. So it could be with us, it could be with the cloister community, it could be with the Sisters of Life or Little Sisters of the Poor. But we're very grateful for the beautiful young women that have just started their journey with our community this year.
And so you actually, your organization actually gets out and kind of recruits, so to speak, as opposed to waiting for young ladies to decide on their own and maybe kind of timidly approach you and say, gee, I don't know what I'm doing, but could you help me? But you're actually going out into the community and looking for people.
Yes. So we just visit, you know, Sister, well, there's two things. We teach in in schools across the nation. So we have a lot of exposure in different states and cities. But Sister Jess Ranger, who's the director of vocations, she really just would go to college campuses and visit and be present. But we also host retreats generally three times a year where we would have on average, 150 women that come here to Ann Arbor, and they sleep on the floor in the school, and they have a 24-hour discernment retreat. Now, this year we're trying to be creative, and we're probably going to do some sort of online discernment retreat just to get us through this period of time. But I think, we use technology. We're not afraid of using technology because we're Dominicans, and we want to be out there in the public square. So Sister is being, she'll be very creative, and I think she'll be, she's got tons of energy, so even though she may feel like she's confined, she will definitely be out there reaching people.
Absolutely. Well, we're talking with Sister John Dominic, and actually you are one of the founders of the Dominican Sisters of Mary. You started out in Nashville, is that right? Is that when you entered? Maybe tell us a little bit about yourself and then how you got this rolling and how long it's been rolling, I guess.
Right. All right. So we started, so there were four of us that began the community, and 1997 was the year we founded it. Actually, our discernment started, years before that, as God kind of had placed a seed in our hearts individually and just over time and prayer. We spent a year in 1996 in the Archdiocese of New York under really the direction of then John Cardinal O'Connor, who was a great leader in the church. He welcomed us into his Archdiocese, the community of St. Cecilia in Nashville. It wasn't something that they felt like they were called to do, but they gave us permission to spend this time to pray and to really see if this is what God was asking us to do. So that's really important because to us is that we were always, listening, working within the obedience of the church, the Holy Spirit. So the fact that our community gave us that time to do that, we worked with the Cardinal, we worked, with the Holy See, and very quickly, as soon as, we got started, the doors kind of kept opening, and we say now, that was 1997, and now we're at 2020. We don't feel like we've stopped for a moment, that God keeps continuing leading us forward, and that this is obviously a religious community that he wanted to bring into existence.
Now, you actually grew up in California, and then how did you end up entering, I think you entered in the Dominican Sisters in Nashville, is that right? Is that
right? So I was born in California.
Okay.
I moved to Nashville, Tennessee when I was 5 years old.
Okay.
I'm the only Catholic in my family, so I converted when I was in high school.
Wow.
I attended St. Cecilia Academy, and that's when I had my first introduction to the Catholic Church. And right after high school is when I entered the Nashville Dominicans. That would have been in 1992. So in Nashville, it's kind of fun because my mom worked in the country music business. She was a publicist, and we actually went there because my dad was transferred, but then my mom kind of started working in the business. So I have a lot of connections and love the Music City. I love Nashville.
That is really awesome. Well, let me ask you now, what is the specific, maybe we ask, what is a charism, and then what is the charism of the Dominican Sisters of Mary, maybe your mission there?
Okay, great. That's a great question. So a charism is something that's given, a gift by the Holy Spirit that's given to the church or to an individual or to like a founder of order for a specific reason, So we are Dominicans, so it would be within the charism of St. Dominic, which there's a lot of mottos for the order. There's Veritas, there's to contemplate, to give to others, the fruits of your contemplation, to praise, to bless, to preach. But we're preachers, teachers, really is our primary apostolate, the charism. And so we teach, we preach. That's why we started Lumina Ecclesiae Digital and Press, which we could talk about later on if you wish. But two, in particular, if you take the name, the Dominican Sisters of Mary, Mother of the Eucharist, we have a Marian devotion. So all of the sisters, we consecrate ourselves to Mary. St. Louis de Montfort was a Third Order Dominican. So that's very Dominican that we do that. And then also the Eucharistic adoration, which is really the most important part of our day. So the Dominicans, we contemplate, all that we do is formed in the sanctuary and prayer and choir and through study. And then that gives us, once we kind of nurture our minds and hearts, then we're able to go and to spread that and to give that to others. And that's very, very much a part of what we do and who we are. So we love being Dominicans and living out that and being faithful to that charism.
Now, this isn't one of the questions I gave you, but I'm just going to pop this on you, but I'm visualizing it. I have... my children attended Our Lady of Mount Carmel in Carmel, Indiana, and we have the Dominican Sisters of Nashville that actually staff that school. And what's so beautiful, and maybe people that maybe aren't familiar with either your order or the Nashville Dominicans, you wear the long, white, full-length garb. Talk about maybe the color and why you wear the full... the full habit, I guess.
That's beautiful. And let me say, too, I'm so wonderful that you have that exposure, because they are a wonderful community, and we still have, a lot of friends there and stuff. So they're thriving as well. So that's exciting. So what we wear is the Dominican habit that was given, with St. Dominic, the white, minus of purity. And we wear the black veil. We have a medal that's distinguished, that has the Jesus and Mary on it, that flows from kind of what our Eucharistic and Marian devotion. But I'll say, Bridget, the real reason, we wear the habit, we want to be a witness to others, it's a sign of our poverty. A lot of times it's really, I think most sisters would tell you this, that it's for us, because it's a constant reminder to me that I belong to Christ, that I belong to a community. You don't kind of suppress your personality. You're still who you are, because in order, all the saints are, to be a saint is you become the person God's created you to be. Mm-hmm. So one of the things we'll say about Dominicans, you need one, but we're not all alike. We're all different. We all have our personality. We are who we are, but we share that common life. So the habit, shows the unity of the community, shows that we belong, we're serving the church, that we belong to Christ. So, it keeps you in check. Some days if you have a hard day,
sure.
You say, gosh, I'd love to go, go have a drink someplace, but, I can't do that. So I used to tell my teachers, I was a principal for 20 years. I said, well, my happy, because they'd be like, we're going to go have a happy hour. This has been a long week. And I'd be like, well, my happy hour is Vespers at 5 o'clock. 5 o'clock somewhere for me to go pray Vespers.
Amen.
Sister, do you find the habits to be an attraction or a hindrance? A young lady who thinks, maybe I want a religious vocation, maybe I'm being called to a religious vocation. But do you find the habit to be a hindrance of some people saying, but I don't want to do that? Or do you find that people do want to do that?
That's a great question. I think it's very attractive to people, because it gives them that they know that they're visibly making that sign, we still go for bike rides, we ride bikes, we play basketball, we play sports, we find ways, we still all do all those things in the habit, of course probably not as vigorously as you would, in other things, but people come up to us all the time and ask for prayers. I was at the grocery store the other day and putting things in the back of the car, and a woman came up and she's like, will you please pray for my son, he has to have brain surgery today. Well, if I wasn't there in my religious habit, she wouldn't have been felt comfortable to come and to approach me to ask me for that intention. So that's what St. Dominic was. He was out there. He was out preaching and walking and said, even if we're not using words, just with how we live and just walking down the street, you're hoping to raise other people's minds and hearts to God. And oftentimes, our greatest witness is when we're quiet, because you know, and then sometimes that can really be what speaks to people, is they just can be inspired by just seeing you and giving them that comfort and joy.
Well, our first half has gone really quickly. We need to take a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to talk about some of your virtue education and your digital media outreach. So stay tuned for more Faith in Action.
You're listening to Catholic Radio Indy, converting the culture to Christ through radio, featuring 100% Catholic programming 24/7. Do your friends a favor. Tell them about Catholic Radio Indy.
Have you ever thought about joining the Catholic Church? Have you just wanted to explore the Catholic faith? All you need to do is call your local Catholic Church for more information. We are always happy to help you in your journey to discover and learn more about the Catholic faith. We have classes that are almost year-round, and the classes and information sessions do not involve making a commitment, and there is no pressure to join. Please call your local Catholic parish for more information today and start the journey of one day possibly becoming Catholic as well. God bless.
Welcome back to Faith in Action. I'm Bridget Ayer, and Jim Ganley and I are in the studio, and we're talking with our guest, Sister John Dominic. She is one of the founders of the Dominican Sisters of Mary, Mother of the Eucharist. And one of the main reasons we wanted to interview you, Sister, is we wanted to find out what your secret is for getting so many vocations. We talked a little bit about it maybe in the first half, but what are your thoughts on that?
You know, as you know, I mentioned, you know, I one thing I would say, you know, I mentioned Sister Jess Ranger, who's out there, you know, talking to people, and it's the exposure. I think it's the joy. Our sisters are very joyful. I think young people are really looking to have that commitment, that have this hunger in their heart to respond. You know, and I would also say too that, you know, I think families. You know, I mean, it goes both ways. Sometimes parents, I mean, like for myself, when I entered, my parents really struggled with it. I was the only Catholic in the family. They're very much opposed. So we still have that because it's very foreign to them and they're unsure. But a lot of the young women that come to us have families that nurture their vocation or want or kind of give them that exposure to other religious communities and other, you know, religious life. And they see that, you know, we're joyful together, that we're wanting to be a part of evangelization, you know, we're strong in Catholic education, you know, catechesis. For us, you know, we kind of branch out into the digital media. We see, you know, we're not afraid of being out there in the internet, you know, the new kind of public square, kind of like right now we're doing this interview with the podcast and everything. So, but I think to just the common life, the prayer life that we have together, and that's very attractive to them, and they want that. They're seeking that, and those are the type things that young people are looking for. They want to give themselves to something. They want to be mm-hmm. challenged to greatness.
One question that we're asking most all of our guests on Faith in Action here is how the COVID virus has affected their operation. I mean, you've got a number of people all living in a relatively small community. How has life changed there since February?
Yeah, well, when the sister and, you know, when they had to, you know, we're teachers, so overnight, you know, we had to put in, we're not only teaching, but we're in universities taking classes, so overnight, everyone was all of a sudden on Zoom and online, you know, and we had to increase the Wi-Fi and the bandwidth for the internet coming in. So, you know, learning how to do Zoom calls and teach online, that was a huge struggle, you know. So that was one impact because of what we do in our apostolate. And then, you know, we immediately we started live streaming our Mass, our community Mass, and our prayers, because we wanted to be a beacon of hope and light to people, and got right out there on YouTube and through Facebook and started live streaming. That we still do it today because people started, you know, setting their daily schedule for that. And we had to also, you know, be prudent and talk to the medical professionals and, you know, put in place, you know, how, you know, I don't know how you... kind of hard to social distance when you're living with 70 people, you know, in one house, but we try to keep our distance. We hand washing, hand sanitize, you know, do all those things. And I will also say, pray to St. Joseph. Yeah. He's been keeping us healthy, so that's amazing.
Well, we have about, I'd say about 5-6 minutes left, and I want to get to some of these new ventures that you've mentioned and that we kind of teased a little bit at the before we went on the break. I think you were involved in the Disciple of Christ Education and Virtue program that you're using in the schools. And then also I want to get to the, I'm not sure if I'll say this right, Lumen Ecclesia, yeah. Press and Digital. So tell me about those two things.
Awesome. So, yes. So, as I mentioned, I've been involved in Catholic education for over 30 years. I was a principal for 20 years. And had the great blessing of being able to, you know, bring that Dominican charism, you know, to the school. And one part is that is virtue education. So I started asking the teachers, you know, to teach about virtue. And they were like, well, sister, we don't even know what the word means. We need resources to be able to do it. And I said, well, that's fair enough. So with the sisters and collaborating with the sisters, we developed Disciple of Christ Education and Virtue. So I started that in 2013, I believe, and really developed beautiful resources that are very practical for teachers. So we're in over 600 schools in the Philippines, really all over the world. The program is starting to be used. And then just recently, in response to everyone having to go online, we developed an online course called Cultivating the Virtues, God Gives the Growth. So we have a learning portal, Lumen Ecclesiae learning portal, where we have that course and another course called Life of Christ, Lectio Divina. Because that was the other thing I noticed in being a principal is helping the children or helping adults learn how to read and pray with the scriptures. So the Life of Christ, Lectio Divina companion video series, both of those are online. They can either be used in school or independently if teachers need to be able to do that. So right now, we just checked the stats yesterday, there's over 1,000 people using both of those courses that we just made available in the last few weeks. So that's flowing out of Lumen Ecclesiae Digital and Press, where we'll do podcast special interviews. This time last year, I did one of my good friends is Amy Grant. Mm-hmm. Amy and I did a two-part podcast interview, which is out there. And I encourage anyone to watch that. It's very inspiring. She's a beautiful, wonderful woman. And so our sisters will be teaching and doing whatever we can with faith formation. So as you can see, we're very active and really trying to reach people and evangelize people.
Well, sister, I'm wondering, how can people support your community or find out more about maybe your order? Tell us about that. How can people connect with you?
Awesome. So you can go to the easiest thing on this when you're learning is, you know, go to our website, sistersofmary.org. And once you're at sistersofmary.org, we direct you to Lumen Ecclesiae Press or Digital, the learning portal. We direct you to Education and Virtue. If you're a young woman considering vocation, you can check out the vocations there. So website, sistersofmary.org. We're on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. We're all out there on social media. You can find that. So when you're asking how to support us, the first thing is prayer. Pray for us. The second thing is really to spread the word about the community, spread the word about the Disciple of Christ, Education and Virtue, and the online courses that we have. And then also with Cultivating the Virtues program, we're offering that free, and we just ask for people to give a donation. So if people want to give us support by giving us a donation, there's certainly places on the website where you can give. And we're certainly grateful for that because we have a lot of mouths to feed and a lot of people to educate. But prayer, spreading the word, is a great way to support us.
Now, sister, the big question that I meant to ask you early in the broadcast and didn't do it, and I know it's on everybody's mind, what's the difference between a sister and a nun, or is there any?
That's great. Yes, so a sister is our sister, we're more active, okay? A nun is in a cloistered, a contemplative community, so they do not go out. So their lives are, they're called to a vocation where they stay within the walls, you know, in a contemplative. So that may look a little bit different. You know, there may be Benedictine nuns, and they kind of, they with them, they stay more in their location. Well, most contemplative sisters stay at those locations, but they may have farmlands or whatever, but you may find a Dominican cloister in the middle of a city, you know. You find Mother Teresa's contemplative nuns in Chicago. They live like two doors down from our sisters in Chicago. So they're nuns because they stay there and they have a contemplative life where they're praying and they have a different schedule, way of life, where we go out to schools to teach, or the little sisters of the poor go and take care of people in the nursing homes, or the Sisters of Life are active in pro-life work, you know. So that's the difference. It depends on your apostolate. We have an apostolate.
So real quick, sister, tell us how this is, and this is just in like 30 seconds, how God has blessed you in this journey over this, you know, however many years that you've been active in this community.
Oh, you're only giving me 30 seconds. Yeah, okay. I just say, you know, it's a great life. I love it. It's joyful, you know, to follow the person of Jesus Christ. Every day is a new day. I mean, there's joys, there's sorrows, there's obviously the cross and sufferings. There's, you know, times you have to step out in faith, but God is always faithful. He's always there. You know, the Holy Spirit is continually working alive and active within our hearts, and it's a great life. You know, it's a great life. It's an adventure.
Well, Sister John Dominic, one of the founders of the Dominican Sisters of Mother Mary of the Eucharist, thank you so much for being our guest, and you can find out more at www.sistersofmary.org. Thanks so much, sister. God bless you.
God bless you. Thank you.
You have been listening to Faith in Action, the program that looks at how people put their faith into action in their everyday lives. Faith in Action is a presentation of Catholic Radio Indy. You can hear this episode of Faith in Action again, or any past episode, at CatholicRadioIndy.org. If you have a suggestion for a guest or topic for a future program, please call us at 317-870-8400 or email Jim at CatholicRadioIndy.org.